I'm Jack Death. I'm a trooper in the 23rd century. My job is hunting trancers.
I got nothing to hide.
Finding them, and singeing them.
Look out!
Hello, this is Mike.
This is Awesome Mike.
And this is Lindsay. And this is Forgotten Failures, the podcast where we watch and review forgotten or otherwise obscure movies to see if they were worth forgetting. And so a week or two ago, we did a little thing that's slightly different. And we liked it so much that we're doing it again.
Slightly innovative.
And that thing is our randomized list of movies. Because Daryl isn't with us today, and we just wanted to pick a random movie instead of something that all four of us were going to watch together. The way we got to decide on the movie Ant Boy was we had broken it down into four separate streaming services, Crackle, Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon. And then we each took turns picking movies from those services, mm-hmm. And we've developed a list. That list corresponds to each movie corresponds to a number. Each streaming service corresponds to a number. and without getting too far into it, we're going to roll the dice, my D&D dice, yeah. to determine what streaming service we're going to choose from. And then within that, what movie we're going to pick from that streaming service.
Yeah.
There is Hulu has some special rules to it, which could be interesting, but I'm not going to bother explaining it unless
we'll
get to
that when we get to it.
So the first thing what we're going to do is we're going to roll for the streaming service.
All right. So we have a four-sided die.
Yeah.
Tetrahedron.
Four. That's Hulu.
Oh shit.
All right.
Get ready, people.
Okay. So now Hulu, we have a six-sided die. And
what are the stipulations for numbers mean?
So, if we roll a four, we will watch the movie Trancers. Mm-hmm. If we roll a two, we will watch Hell Comes to Frogman.
Or maybe
Frogtown. I wrote that down wrong. if I roll a one, then we are watching Paranormal Casino.
Oh. Which
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
If we roll a five, we will watch WrestleManiac, which also sounds fun.
That looked awesome.
I'm really excited about that one. So here's a special rule. If we roll a three or a six, we are going to then roll a four-sided die to pick from a genre, either action, comedy, horror, and suspense, or science fiction. And then once that genre is chosen, we are going to roll a 20-sided die to pick a movie within that genre.
Yes.
And it'll just be whatever.
It's a 15, we go to the 15th movie in that list, and that's what we're watching.
Yep. So we have a super randomizer within our randomized list.
This is the Forgotten Randoms.
Yeah. Four. We are watching Trancers.
Ooh, nice.
I've heard of that.
I think I picked that one when we were going through Hulu.
Probably.
I don't really remember too much, except I think it was had something to do with a cyborg or something with that.
I know it's about a character named Jack Death.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
All I know is it sounds like Tremors, but I have a feeling it's probably nothing like it.
Yeah, I feel like it was like I'm trying to remember, like some sort of like, not Blade Runner-ish, but some like futuristic cyborg cop thingy or... Mm-hmm. Time cop.
That sounds right.
Okay.
We'll see.
Sounds about right.
So, going with that, considering it was my pick.
Yep.
I think I was excited about it. I think the cover of it looked pretty interesting, or the artwork on Hulu was pretty funny, and I was like, that looks cool.
Yeah.
So, that's. I hope it's cool.
Me too.
I hope it's cool. I think I've owned Trancers and Trancers 4 on VHS for the better part of a decade now, and never come close to watching them.
Oh, so, well now tonight is your night.
See how excited I am to finally have an opportunity to watch them.
There you go.
All right, let's do it.
Lena, I need to talk to you.
Not now, okay?
Listen, I'm not crazy. I need your help.
A transformer that is Decepticon, and... Hey, Sam, are you listening? What's wrong with Murray?
He's a Trancer.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, I'm back too.
Hey, how about you, Lindsay? You back?
Motown Philly is back again.
Oh, yeah. Daryl, you back?
No. Oh,
Daryl's not back.
Man.
Daryl was sick today. We failed to mention that.
Yeah.
But he was sick and his voice was bothering him. He didn't want to, no one wanted to listen to him cough for an hour.
I mean, his voice, that's the moneymaker.
Yeah. 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 It really is, too. I think he's got the best voice out of all of us.
Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just watched Trancers. And
Trancers.
Yeah, I wasn't sure beforehand, but as soon as it started, I realized, oh yeah, this is a Full Moon Pictures movie. Or I guess it wasn't at the time, but it's a Charles Band movie. And there's a lot of really good ones of those that are extremely 80s. And this is no exception. I liked this. It doesn't really have that much to make fun of, actually, except for Helen Hunt in general. But I really liked it. It was a good 80s movie. That's my review.
So watch it.
Yeah, I think you should watch it. I mean, it doesn't have a lot to make fun of. It's very low budget, but it does everything it sets out to do, I think. The plot is pretty simple. It makes sense. It's got some crazy set design and crazy bright colored smoke everywhere, just like you want out of a 80s low budget sci-fi movie. So I think this is a big good pick. It's better than Mutant Hunt, that's for sure. What do you think, Lindsay?
It wasn't such a positive takeaway. I mean, I do think I will agree that the movie is overall done well. You get the idea that it's done by somebody who knows what they're doing for the most part.
Yeah.
The issues that I had were really with the script itself, because the scenes that were set up, especially in the future, were great. They were everything that I like in world building. They were bright. You know, they looked funky, cool, fresh. with some like throwback thrown in. But I really didn't get like the whole point of the titular Trancers. I didn't really get what sort of like threat they were. I didn't understand the importance of hunting them. Like I just didn't understand the point of anything and why it was important. So that kind of took me out of it. Because the whole time I'm like, what? Why the fuck does this matter? And like, how the fuck are they Trancers? And like, what is going on? But everything else was done to good effect. I mean, it's your 80s, you know, 80s action jaunt sci-fi, you know, like it is what it is. If you like 80s, like sci-fi actiony type movies, and you don't care too much about understanding the plot, watch Trancers. Mm-hmm. You can watch it alone. I don't think you'll get much out of watching it with friends, because there's not, like Mike said, there's not a whole lot to make fun of or like to really talk about with the movie.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Helen Hunt's attire, which at times is super fly, or as she would say, bitchin'. Yeah. And at times is problematic, as some would say today.
Let's talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later, though. But yeah, I would say watch it. If this is, if 80s action sci-fis are your kind of thing, I would not want to watch it again. that's just me, though. How about you, Awesome Mike?
Awesome Mike checking in. I have a weird, hard time kind of placing this. It doesn't really fit into, like, I can't really say watch this movie, even though it wasn't bad. Like, I just, because of a lot of things that you just touched on, it's not like something I would recommend. Though, just, you need to watch this movie. And it's not shitty enough to like really say, don't watch this movie ever. And it, like both you and Mike even said, it's not really like ridicule. Like, you can't really sit around and make fun of it either. So in our three categories, it doesn't really fit. I think you might get, I don't think I would ever watch this again by myself. But if I was like, hey, let's watch a shitty movie with some friends, I might do it. So I think just for the sake of that, I'm going to throw it into the watch it with friends category, just out of default. Yeah. no real reason.
Why not?
But it was better than Mutant Hunt. I'll give it that. But not for the right reasons. I think just because it was a better made movie. It kind of reminded me of like a shitty, weird, like sci-fi take on like Sin City or like Hudson Hawk or something like that. Like it was like that hard-boiled cop with like some like a chip on his shoulder and he's out to do something, and the whole like throwback to like the old style cars, like that, like they do that in Sin City and Hudson Hawk and like a lot of those type of movies too. So that kind of like throwback to like the 50s detective thing kind of worked in there. But so it's gonna be a soft watch it with friends.
Yeah, when you guys are going through your criticisms, I realize, you know, you're kind of right. There's what this movie needs is one-liners. There's like no one-liners in the script.
Yeah.
That was very disappointing to me, even though I kind of liked it. Like, it was kind of
I agree.
Very, like, very, very poor man's Blade Runner. But
yes.
Yeah, a lot of it was done okay. But the problem is, this is very much, as far as this kind of movie goes, it is a middle of the road, bland kind of cardboard
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is a movie that probably could have been fleshed out more. And
a little bit.
Well, you know what, guys? It has been fleshed out more in 5 sequels. So you know what? You don't have to watch this movie again if you don't want to. You can watch Trancers 2-6.
But it's just like, it's one of the few movies that I think I've watched. I was like, you know what? If they would have spent another 20 minutes like fleshing out some of this stuff, it might have been like a good movie. Like, not just like a good movie to kind of just a good shitty movie. It's like, yeah, it would have been like a decent movie.
It's kind of like you know, putting a soup together and you have all of like your standards, you have all the stuff that should bring flavor to the soup, yeah, but it's just still bland.
Yeah.
Like it's it just is missing that it's spice.
Like, it's like, imagine if someone without as much charisma and stuff made The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, it could another kind of head into that. Like that.
But The Fifth Element was so good because of all of its like weirdness. And like,
it could have been. It could have fell flat.
It went balls to the wall. Like Fifth Element went balls to the wall.
It's also kind of like Howard the Duck in a way. Like Helen Hunt is basically Leah Thompson from Howard the Duck. Exactly.
Yes. Yep. It is very Howard the Duck.
You know what this movie needed? You know what this movie needed? It needed Chris Tucker.
Yes.
This movie absolutely needed.
This movie definitely needed a Chris Tucker.
It needed a Chris Tucker.
At this time it would have been like Eddie Murphy probably.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Could have used an Eddie Murphy. That would have been perfect.
Or Taylor Negron.
Yeah, or also, there is an option if you want to watch this movie. You can watch it through Hulu. Which is where we watched it. And there is an option to watch it with Elvira's comments, kind of like a pop-up video, which Mike and I accidentally watched like 20 minutes of the movie that way.
We were like, wait, there's got to be another version
and
of this.
So that version is actually a little bit better in that there are things to comment on, and it's just Elvira's really crappy jokes.
Yeah.
They're not even really jokes after a while.
Yeah, there was one where she literally just mimicked exactly what one of the characters was saying.
Yeah, saying and doing. Like, it was really weird. I love Elvira so much, and I hope she keeps doing what she does, but that was a weird little taste of what she's doing right now.
How the heck does Elvira even fit in this movie? Because it's not a horror movie, and there's no sex in it either.
It was like a 13 Days of Horror. It was something special that she did.
Imagine like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yeah. Like she did what the hell is that word?
She introduced the movie, and then she would pop up in certain scenes.
Like green screen.
Yeah, she was like superimposed over it, and she would do some bit. But I think she did. This seems something like it was very recent, and she might have done it in conjunction with Full Moon Pictures having their video streaming on Hulu.
Yeah.
So it might have been something to promo the movies
like
that were through Full Moon on Hulu.
It looked like the quality was good enough to where it didn't look shitty. Like it had to be within the last, easily like the last 5.
And she looks amazing.
So. Yeah.
And she's still great. Like her comedic timing's good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they're giving her the dumbest things to say.
I think she has always been given the dumbest things to say.
Well, that's who.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, but she's making that money, and I love her for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can't knock it.
Yeah.
Okay, so watch anything on Hulu that has Elvira on it. That's Lindsay's review.
Yeah. Yeah, but that transfers with Elvira a little bit better. I will say that.
Yeah, we were like, oh, it's got to be better to watch it. I kind of regretted it.
I missed Elvira afterwards.
We should have just stepped with her.
Yeah. It only adds a couple minutes to the movie, which is fairly short.
Yeah, I think it was like a 2-minute intro. It wasn't much at all.
Yeah. So before we get too into it, why don't we get into it with the Mike D Break D?
This is a story all about how futuristic cop Jack Death is also a scavenger in the ruins of Los Angeles, which is underwater. And he is sent back in time by McNulty, his boss, who is played by Babe Ruth from The Sandlot. And he is sent back in time to, guess what, 1985. And he meets a young Helen Hunt, who plays Leah Thompson from Howard the Duck. And she is also employed as a Christmas tree elf. And she shows him around L.A. And he's trying to hunt for the Whistler. The Whistler has enslaved all these people in the future. We don't know why he's doing this, but the Whistler is the bad guy. And he's enslaved all these people in the future. And he's traveled back in time to Los Angeles to escape the future, I guess. And Jack Death eventually finds the Whistler, and he also finds the only surviving ancestor of one of the three members of the Great Western United States Council, who is a homeless old ex-baseball player, and he finds him in Skid Row and defeats the Whistler, and then he doesn't travel back to the future, which was surprising. It just ends there on a cliffhanger, him with Helen Hunt in the past. I think that's all that happened.
And it ends on little girl.
McNulty.
McNulty.
That was good. That was funny. I like that part.
I keep thinking that this McNulty character is Nick Nolte. Like every time they said it, I'm like, oh, Nick Nolte. It's not Nick Nolte. Yeah.
Every time I hear McNulty, I just think of The Wire. And I'm like, maybe this guy is like the descendant of McNulty from The Wire.
Yeah, what's great is they can travel back in time, apparently, but they can only travel back into like their ancestors' bodies.
Yes.
And so when McNulty travels back in time because he needs to grab Jack Death for a second and bring him back to the future, TM, But he he comes back, and the only ancestor he can find is this that's alive at the same time, in the same time period, is this little girl, a little like maybe 9 year old blonde.
Yeah, I was thinking like around like 10-ish, 11 maybe.
Who's like, and it's really great to see this little girl just be like she's a little girl, but there's like a 45-year-old detective inside of her.
Like the script that she's reading is like a 45-year-old dude.
Like, I'm gonna bust you down to. Down a walk in the streets.
Yeah,
it's great. And the movie ends on her making like a mischievous face or something
like that. I don't know how you really.
And like looking around a corner of an alley, making a mischievous. I think she's
looking at Jack Death and Helen Hunt making out, right?
Probably. Yeah, I got the impression maybe she's going to be like, oh, you didn't go back to the future, but I'm going to send your ass back to the future type of look.
Also, because she did that before, and also she kind of spied on him having sex a little bit.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a perv.
Yeah, she's into it.
Because she's inhabited by the future cop.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he shows up, he sees Helen Hunt and is like, whoa, who's the skirt? Yeah. Which I mean, the little skirt. Girl who says that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
this movie opens up in the future. I forget what year it was, like 22 something, 23 something.
It looked cool as hell.
It did look. It kind of reminded me of like Bill and Ted Future.
Yeah.
Because everyone's wearing like big shoulder pads.
Yep.
It's not as extravagant as Bill and Ted Future, but it's like the shitty Biff 85 version of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, and this is like shoulder pads as in. This was made in like 1985, and shoulder pads were becoming popular. So they just kind of extrapolated that into shoulder pads continuing to get bigger for the next 250 years.
These guys, the guys on the High Council of the High Council of the West Territories, Western Territories.
Yeah.
They all look like they grabbed their clothes from the like maybe their one shared ancestor was the bad guy from that Pauly Shore movie that we watched.
Curse of the Inferno.
Curse of the Inferno.
Oh yeah, Ned Beatty, the sheriff guy.
Yeah, because they had like the patterns are really sharp, and the way the clothes were designed with the shoulder pads were very like sharp and dramatic.
Yeah, it was like the Ultimate Warrior's makeup.
Yep.
Onto a jacket.
That pretty much was it.
Yeah, well, it's like they had normal clothes, and then the costume designers just decided to go nuts with like random pieces of felt attached to the shoulders and here and there.
Yeah.
Like McNulty just had these like pointy things going from the top of his shoulders down to the middle of his chest for in the middle of an otherwise perfectly normal suit.
Well, that's how the future
also, is. Also, whenever any man wears a suit, his dress shirt is sea green in the future.
And this opens up at the very beginning. There's very little narrative, if any. I can't remember much.
This is the rare movie that could have done with a lot more narration.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was missing that.
It also would have gave it that like noir feel too.
Yeah, because it was kind of going for that.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be a future noir Blade Runner thing, but that just ended after he beat up that old black lady.
Yeah, so it starts off. He arrives in front of this future cafe.
It's called like Mom's Number 3.
Mom's Number 3, which is a great name. It's like this future retro cafe, kind of back to the futury. And there's just an old lady and some dude with a nose ring in it.
Yeah,
like some like 45-year-old like I don't even know like person.
I think it was a cab driver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say he looked like a garbage man or something.
Yeah, there's just some dude. So he comes in. He does like a stop and frisk on this dude. And he's like, hey, I gotta check you. And the dude's like trying to like talk about his rights.
He's like,
but
you gotta have a warrant. He's like, here's my warrant, and pulls out a gun.
Yeah, because apparently there's like a bracelet that you can use to check to see if someone's like a trancer.
Yeah.
And this guy checks out, but then it turns out, oh no, the old lady is the trancer.
The old lady's the waitress.
Yeah. The old lady waitress is a trancer, and she's gonna attack this dude, Jack Death, and they have like a little fight scene.
Yeah, she stabs him with a knife in the thigh. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was pretty full on.
She had a cleaver.
First she had a cleaver, and she used that as much as possible. She was really effective.
Yeah, she was kicking.
She really
some ass.
Got him.
She
didn't kill him,
strength.
But she was close.
Yeah. And then he kills her. He does like punch her like right in the face too.
Yeah.
At one point. Like he punches her so hard that it lifts her up and throws her over the like the diner counter to like the
kitchen
area.
It was a good punch.
It was really good.
It was unexpected too. Like I was not expecting a full on punch to the face to this old elderly woman.
But when he kills her, she just turns this like bright red like glowing light and just kind of disappears. She leaves like a trace of her body,
leaving a charred silhouette on the floor.
Yeah, and this is our introduction to trancers, and we still don't really know what they are.
Yeah, I can do with another introduction right now.
they kind of flip out. Like it's
for no reason.
It's bizarre.
It's like weird
they're not really
they're
vampires,
and they're fully functioning.
Humans. They have jobs,
and they look completely normal until you call them out for being a trancer, and then they turn into these monsters with hella chapped lips.
Yeah. Really, it's like they're members of some sort of cult movement.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that it seems like they can maintain a job. Obviously, they can they are functioning members of society in most ways. It seems
they don't abide by like monster movie logic at all. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's almost like a Bloody Mary type of thing. It's like kind of. You called me a trancer, now I'm a trancer. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to when they're gonna show up as these zombie hypnotized trancer things. And
only when Jack Death comes around looking for them, because that seems to be the only they don't go out. They never show them. Like hunting down innocents.
Yeah, it's not like
they never affect like anybody who's just sitting there ever.
It's not like the full moon and you get turned into a werewolf and you just go shit crazy killing people.
And just so that you have a little bit of flavor of what it was to watch the Elvira version. at the point where the old lady at the diner, when she dies and she trances out, she evaporates. Elvira pops up on screen like a pop-up video. She pops up on screen and she says, "Now serving blackened black people."
Oh my god,
that is the joke. And then she disappears, and that is the closest to a joke that she gets. The rest of them get worse from there. not in taste, but in technicality.
Yes.
of being a joke.
Okay, go Elvira, will you ever learn?
Yeah, but that's about when we stop watching Elvira.
Yeah, we're like, all right, I looked it up on my phone. I was like,
first scene.
Well, no, I think we got like 23 minutes into it, 25 minutes into it.
So basically the trancers, like, the only time they do anything bad is when the man is hassling them.
Yes, yeah. Which obviously, I mean, I get a little irritated when the man's hassling me.
Yeah. But you don't trance out.
I don't trance out on him.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Counter- like, imagine if 10% of the population, if they're being questioned by the cops, turns into werewolves. Then the cops really hate these people. But, you know, they'd be fine if the cops weren't doing this, you know?
Yeah, if they were being singled out and attacked.
Yeah, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I wonder if Trancers 5 is just like a political drama about how tough Trancers have had it.
Good question. Have they been, Trancers 5 is, in fact, about the Old West. It's almost like looks like the best one.
No.
It's almost like a They Live situation, except you don't need the glasses. You just need to be fucking Jack Death.
Yeah, it doesn't... That is the thing that probably bothered me the most. I know we've talked about it, but these Trancers do not seem to be doing any harm to anybody other than when they are being
called out.
Yeah. And it's just as easy as just not fucking calling them out.
Yeah, they won't hurt anybody.
It's like,
just leave them alone.
Because we see Trancers who are good waitresses, Trancers who are good cops.
Yeah, Trancers, Santa Claus.
Yeah,
Trancers who are good Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like, they're fine.
Jack Death even tells Helen Hunt. Yeah. Helen Hunt is working as an elf at the Santa Claus. And he's like, "Did you ever see that Santa Claus flip out at anybody except me? Obviously, he's an evil trancer from the future."
Yeah.
Well, she could have come back and said, "Well, he would never have flipped out then. He would have been perfectly fine if you hadn't shown up. It's your fault."
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, so before Jack Death goes back into one of his ancestors' bodies, but not really, but yes. But no, but yes.
But that was weird, too, because everyone else that went back went into a different, like, body. But he went back, and it was just him without a scar.
But I think the whole thing is that, like, he's, like, his own grandpa kind of deal. I think that's why he turned into him, because it's actually still... Like, that's maybe why?
That kind of makes sense. I could see that.
But anyway, so before he goes back in time, he's prepped a little bit. They have a bit of, like, a cue moment. And this woman is explaining, like, some of the cool stuff he gets, which is, like, one thing. He gets two things, but the second thing doesn't really matter. The one thing that he does get that matters, but is also completely wasted most of the time, is something. She gives him a watch, and she's like, "This will give you a long second," which is the dumbest thing in the world. But then she explains that if he presses this thing, it will automatically kind of slow down time for everybody else, and he'll gain 10 seconds within the 1 second that passes.
Yeah, so 1 second stretches out to 10 seconds, but that logic is thrown completely out the window the first time he uses it, and 1 second's really like two and a half minutes.
Yeah, and he wastes pretty much all of that time.
Yeah, just looking around.
But it takes 10 seconds for him to just like look around and figure out what to do. Fortunately, the whole thing takes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I liked seeing the slow motion effects they had, just... slow motion effects from the other actors standing still.
Yeah.
They weren't even moving slowly. They were just standing still.
Yeah, we skipped a little bit in the beginning when they are in the future. We get an introduction of Los Angeles, which they are now dubbed Lost Angeles.
Yes, which is dope.
Now like 15 cutout cardboard buildings surrounded by water.
Yeah,
Los Angeles has fallen into the ocean, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty. You know, that's what people are saying will probably happen with global warming.
That's something that could possibly happen because of the Andreas Fault Line.
Yeah,
I don't think it's cool enough to merit them like having a shot of it for like 10 seconds with nothing except music to astound us with how amazing their Los Angeles cardboard effects were.
It was kind of cool to see Jack. He's like, one of his hobbies is he gets a wetsuit and he goes like, he swims around in old Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That wetsuit was
and finds relics.
I don't even think it was waterproof.
Yeah.
He also has like a bike helmet. Come on.
It's like a helmet that looks like BB-8.
Yeah. He was wearing like a bike helmet that was supposed to be some sort of like underwater helmet, but give me a break.
Yeah. It was cool. And then, then he gets sent back to the past and we meet Helen Hunt, who's this broad he was banging the night before. And that's really all it was for the time being.
That was such a good like opening scene. I was confused by it a little bit.
It was a little weird.
So like he gets back into this body that's like an ancestor's body, but it's him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up and he had like sex with this Helen Hunt chick.
Yeah.
and it just starts out. The whole scene starts out with Helen Hunt asking, "Did you mean what you said last night?" and Jack Death was like, "Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What did I say?" Yeah. and she says, she's like, "You said making love to me was like the
ethereal union of two lost souls."
Making love to me was like the ethereal union of two lost souls.
Yeah, which like, no one ever talks like that.
Yeah.
I said that.
And he just goes, "Yep, you lost souls. Got it.
Yep, I'm a baller ass pimp." Yep. Yeah.
And the whole time she's like getting dressed and she's wearing.
Yeah, and first she was wearing like a jazzercise, like kind of like a, you know, leotard thing.
When we start out, it's topless Helen Hunt back to the camera looking out a window. Yeah. Then she pulls up the top half of her leotard.
And then she starts changing into like a Mrs. Claus type suit.
Yeah. But it was like a Mrs. Claus business suit.
Yeah,
it was really weird. All of a sudden, she is really about like trying to get to her work.
Yeah, because that's an important job.
Which the apartment she had does not match the job that she has.
No. I think that was Jack's apartment.
Oh, you're right.
Because her apartment is just upstairs from the punk club.
Well,
wasn't her apartment.
That was her friend's
that's
apartment.
That's a whole other thing that we got to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I thought this was going to be like a tiresome thing, like, "You seem different, my boyfriend. You're acting really different today." But fortunately, actually, they hadn't known each other more than a day, so we didn't have to go through the whole routine of him pretending to be this past guy.
Yeah, that was a good plot device.
She did pick up on him being really weird because like he didn't understand things because he's from the future. Things are different.
And he couldn't pronounce Cahuenga Boulevard.
Yeah, and he obviously, she knew him from the night before. So she's like, "Last night you told me you knew Los Angeles, but now you don't know Cahuenga Boulevard? Give me a break."
Fucking Joker.
Yeah, right? Come on. It's right by that 7-Eleven on the corner.
Yeah. It's like two blocks over, bro.
So they go do the Santa thing. Santa turns out to be a trancer.
And apparently no one else knows how to take a picture because they're like waiting on Helen Hunt
to take pictures.
To take the pictures. They're like, "Oh, now you show up."
Yeah, these kids have been waiting this whole time.
Photography elf is not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Santa is totally normal.
Yeah.
He's being a good Santa.
Jolly
he
as
looks
all
a little like a drunkish kind of Santa, but,
yeah, but
hey, whatever.
That's your standard
he was
Santa.
Doing it. He showed up.
Yeah, he showed up. He looked great.
Yeah.
He looked like Santa.
The story checks out.
And then Jack Death comes in and Jack Death wigs out. And so the Santa wigs out and like there's this whole like fight scene with a gun and antlers and some other things going on. In the end they leave. And then that's when Whistler shows up with the cops for the first time. We see him for the first time.
Yeah. We find out Whistler's possessed a police chief detective like that.
Some
sort of head of police.
And then they show Jack Death and Helen Hunt leaving, and it's obviously a shot where they're not actually driving, but they're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Death, the way that he's driving, the way that he's moving the steering wheel around, it looks like he's made about like 15 turns in the conversation that they're having.
His hands are at like 11 and 1.
Yeah.
And
constantly turning back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going, the way the scene is shot, they're going straight down
straight
the road.
Ahead. In the middle lane.
In the middle
ahead.
Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Not
it's
making
it's
any
like
sort
when they're
of,
driving on the Lucy show or something.
Yeah.
Back and forth. The wheel goes back and forth. The
it's like
projections behind the car do not change.
It's like a little kid with a toy steering wheel and they're just like moving it left and right.
Yeah, it's like Maggie Simpson in the opening credits of The Simpsons.
Honk, honk.
Yep.
They're driving a cool T-Bird. I don't know what year. Yeah. It was an earlier one because it was before they got kind of weird.
It looked girly-ish. Really sweet.
Yeah.
They track down some dude. They find a picture. The Whistler finds a picture of some dude.
That guy was supposed to be the ancestor of one of the Western Territories council members.
It was the ancestor of the dude guy.
That's right, because they were down to council members.
Yeah, one guy already died. One of the council members already died.
Okay, and they were trying to trance.
There was two left.
Yeah, their ancestors.
And so they had to
trance.
Go back to their ancestors, and Jack was there to save them.
Yeah.
So he had pictures of the two ancestors, and then he loses one during the Santa fight.
That's right, and Whistler finds it.
And it turns out this dude runs a tanning business or some shit.
Which is great. Yeah. And there is a great scene in that where they're just talking, and Jack Death is like, hey, can I talk to you about this thing?
Yeah.
And the dude's like, yeah, sure, come back. Let's talk in my office. And then as soon as Jack Death rounds like the corner and this dude is right behind him, the dude just high kicks him like, right in the fucking face. It's great. Yeah,
right in his own lobby of his own business.
That was good.
And he's in like these short shorts too, which is amazing.
Which are great for kicking high.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's why he's probably wearing them, because he knew he'd have to kick high.
Yeah, and then it cuts to Jack Death like trapped in this like phantasm chamber.
It's a tan booth.
The walls, it's a futuristic because it burns bed. Him.
Yeah, well, it's a tanning bed.
It is.
It's a tanning booth.
Yeah.
So
but it's like a vertical tanning bed.
Yeah, they have those.
Yeah, it's a stand-up
one. Yeah, and I didn't even recognize it as a tanning bed. I was like, oh, there's some sort of futuristic trancers technology.
Yeah.
And then Helen Hunt gets bored of waiting for him and just walks down the hall. And it turns out this is just a tanning bed room with the door being like wedged shut by a surfboard.
Yeah, it's funny. It took me until like he got out. I was like, oh, that was a tanning bed.
Yeah, this is a tanning.
A tanning room or whatever you want to call it.
The only reason I recognize it as a tanning bed as soon as I saw it is because of my mom used to get treatments for her psoriasis. And she would go into a tanning bed that was a stand-up tanning bed like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's one of those. but I didn't realize that they were in like a tanning business. Like that was what they were. That's where they're at until he got out into the hallway. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is probably like that dude. Okay.
Yeah, I noticed it when they pulled up, they showed the sign.
And it said something about that. At this point, we see Helen Hunt. She's changed her clothes a little bit.
She has a lot of wardrobe changes.
Yeah, she has a lot of outfit changes. And this one is the most problematic.
Yes, a little bit.
Because she is wearing a denim jacket with a Confederate flag on the back
like shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, huge.
And the more, so this is the first time we see this, and we don't really know much about her character.
There's some shots out.
The first time we see something like this.
Yeah,
we soon learn that she's supposed to be a punk. Most friendly, lovable Helen Hunt girl with like a few strands of her hair dyed blue.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we find out later that she dated a punk kid and like all
that's
this
probably
stuff.
It.
So I'm wondering if it's like the whole like I know in England, like when punk first started, like someone wear like the swastika to like kind of as like a fuck you to the establishment thing. So I'm wondering if it had
it
the same type
thing.
Of thing.
Yeah. I like to think that Helen showed up at the set and they gave her this jacket with swastikas all over it. She was like, we're going to have to tone this down. I'm not going to wear this. Confederate flag, compromise.
After this happens, Jack Death immediately picks up. He's like, oh no, Whistler knows that we were coming here. He picked up my picture, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's like, we need to like lay low somewhere. Do you have somewhere we can go? And Helen Hunt's like, one of my friends is out of town right now. We can go to their apartment in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And they proceed to treat this apartment like fucking crap.
Yeah. It's not like complete trash. They're not just like throwing things all over the place, but they don't treat it with a whole lot of respect.
No, like Helen Hunt almost immediately goes in, probably after they do it first, but almost immediately like goes into her friend's closet and just disses all her friend's clothes.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, this is shit, that shit, that shit, that shit. That's all terrible. But she puts it on anyway. She makes do, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they have to go clubbing. Because
life gives you lemons, you know?
Yeah, because there's a club that's located like right underneath the apartment. Yeah.
And at first, like, I'm thinking club is like going to be like some pop dance club. They're in Chinatown.
Yeah,
I was thinking maybe it would be some like, you know, some sort of like Chinese or some sort of Asian thing going on.
Even though it sounded like it.
Yeah. And then they go downstairs and it's like a straight up punk club.
That's great.
I just assumed that guy on stage was Lee Ving again, because we always see Lee Ving.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but that would have been amazing.
Doing a punk version of Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Which it is the best version of Jingle Bells I've ever heard. I don't even know what half the words were.
No.
But I know that like BJs were in it, and I know that hand in my penis in my hand was in it.
Yeah. Like, the music sounded normal, and then the dude singing sounded like he was singing in a megaphone.
But he wasn't.
Like 40 feet away from the microphone, and it was very muffled. And yeah, you could only, and he was kind of like singing with like a sneer anyway, so you couldn't really understand what the hell he was
saying.
But
that punk feeling was there.
Yeah,
the man.
Punks were there, and they
everyone
looked,
looked the part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, Jack Death has a scanner radio on him with an earpiece, so he's listening to that, and he's trying to be cool, but he's wearing a suit.
Yeah,
he looks really out of place.
They're doing like new wave dance, like while this punk.
He's got his skinny covering. Tie. He's got an earbud, as we now call them.
Yeah, they look completely out of place in this place. Yeah. Not only like looking, but they're dancing like completely out of place as well.
Yeah, and yeah, they don't look like they belong at all.
Yeah, even Helen Hunt doesn't. With her,
they look like they're on Soul Train.
Momly demeanor, even at age 21.
Yeah, and so at one point, they're dancing around terribly, and this dude comes up, this punk comes up to Helen Hunt, and he's like, "Why don't you call me anymore?" They have this whole thing. She like knew him at one point, and she's like, "You know, I told you to stop talking to me." And he's like not buying it. He's like, "No, why don't you come buy me a drink?"
Yeah.
He's a total jackass.
And then he goes, "You still have some of my tapes."
Yeah. That's right. You still have some of my tapes.
Oh man.
And I'm sure they're really good mixtapes too.
Yeah. I thought he was telling Jack Death to buy him a drink, because he was like, "Look at this guy in a suit. Look at this square."
No, he was looking at her when he said that.
Yeah, I don't know.
He seems like the type.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Either way, he was demanding a drink.
I'm your deadbeat boyfriend, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Jack Death is having none of that. And so the punk dude spits in his face, and Jack Death's like, "Now I'm pissed off." And he punches him out. Then three other punks show up. They don't say anything, but Jack Death punches them out too.
I didn't know if they were supposed to be, like, at first I was like, "Oh, it's some trancers he's got to fuck up." But it really was just normal dudes.
It's just punks being evil, like in a couple other things we've seen.
Yeah.
This is just another movie with punks in it, like that.
If anything, even worse than in that Power Rangers episode.
That'd be great if those three punks were like John Cryer and Flea. That'd be so good.
The only thing that this one had on the Power Rangers, at least they looked like punks, whereas like the other ones were shitty punks, but they also looked shitty. Like at least these ones had the look down.
Yeah, they didn't have the punks as designed by somebody from 1960. That is like basically greasers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so they're there. They get into some fights, and then they go back to fuck upstairs, and that's when the little girl shows up.
Old man McNulty girl shows up.
This is after Helen Hunt gives him his Christmas present.
Oh yeah, but so the little girl McNulty comes in, and Jack Death like basically just picks her up and is like, "Nope, I gotta go fuck now. Sorry, you can't be here."
This is mommy and daddy time, McNulty.
And McNulty's like, "I had to sneak out of my parents' house for this."
Okay, stop that. Stop right now. Okay, this is the only ancestor McNulty could find.
Exactly.
But she has parents?
Yeah, I was thinking, unless she was an orphan.
How did he know that this ancient great-great-grandmother of his was adopted?
Exactly. That's why this whole that's one of many plot holes.
It's thin.
Yeah.
But the little girl McNulty sneaks back in, watches Jack Death and Helen Hunt for a minute, and then because the whole reason that she's there is because they need Jack Death back in the present.
Mm-hmm. For reasons really unknown.
Very thin.
Yeah.
They just need to talk to him for like a minute because they sent him right fucking back.
Well, I think McNulty wanted him off the case.
They were trying to replace him.
Well, why?
So they.
We don't know. Yeah. He's got, I think McNulty just doesn't like him.
So something weird happens here. So Jack Death and Helen Hunt are getting it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in
little
the
girl
bone
comes
zone.
Back in. Little girl comes back in and she's like kind of looking creepy because she's McNulty. And she shoots Jack so that they can have this conversation.
And he
back
goes
in the present.
Back to the future.
Back to the future.
Make note of this that he was shot and burnt back to the future.
Yeah, went back to the future. Then they have a conversation, and Jack Death just explains why he should still be on the case.
Yeah.
Wins that argument, is put back into, this takes like a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Gets put back into
the
body.
It was a dumb plot device. Yeah. They really didn't need that.
No, and it gets put back in, and it ruined things later on.
Yeah.
But it gets put back into the body, and they're done having sex at this point in the past. And Helen Hunt is like, "Wow, that was almost too much." So... And it's only assumed, because we've seen it happen before, that when someone is removed from their ancestor's body, the ancestor is conscious again.
Yes, yeah.
Fully conscious.
Yeah, so basically this ancestor was
did
like...
Did he just wake up in the middle of having sex
yes.
and just was like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, this is happening.
Oh my God.
I'm banging Helen Hunt.
Creepy. It's creepy on multiple levels.
We're having a little F5 twister going on right now.
Well, if that did happen, you would be very excited. You'd probably throw your whole self into performing because you didn't know when you would suddenly go into a coma again.
Yeah, yeah, which was like a minute later.
Dude was like, call me Bill Paxton because you got me twisted.
Well, I wouldn't call him Bill Paxton, but I would say that after he entered his past body with blonde hair for some reason, and then he forced his hair to be slicked back because that's what cops look like, and then he started being unshaven, he started looking almost exactly like Kurt Russell.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which obviously made him more animalistic in the bedroom, I guess.
I don't know. But yeah, that was a weird thing that happened. And that, again, ruins a plot point at the end, which seemed very important because one of the other special things that Jack Death was given were like two of these little vial things that had like a prick at the end.
Yeah.
And that was so that he could bring both Whistler and himself back to the future. But at the end, one of them had broken. So he only had one left and he had to make a choice. And he sends Whistler back. But was brought back.
Yeah, there's a way to get him back.
Because they were acting like he was stuck there then forever.
But obviously he was shot back to the future earlier. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And with this vial being broken, just be clear, it's just the like needle that's broken.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the vial spilled the time-traveling drug all over the place. It's still in there. You can attach another needle.
Yeah, you could put that in like a insulin needle or something.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
And that's why the way it ends on the little girl, like maybe it's McNulty again and he's going to come and shoot him again. Who knows?
Which I'm assuming since there's a sequel, that's probably what happens.
Yeah.
So at this point, the movie kind of slows down because he spends all this time investigating Skid Row and talking to these old bums.
Yeah. Speaking of the bums, there's a trio of hobos hanging around a fire barrel.
Yep.
You know, warm in their hands.
Yeah, and, obviously Los Angeles, singing, you got to stay warm.
Yeah, and they sing songs because that's what bums do, you know. Yep. They get drunk and they sing songs.
Yeah, these are the most PG bums. Yeah. This is a PG-13 movie, but these bums are out of like an episode of Doc McStuffins.
They really are because they're not, there's nothing realistic about that whole scene.
Other than they're drinking, that's really the only realistic thing. They're drinking and hanging around a fire barrel.
And one of them so happens to be an ancestor for one of the High Council members in the future.
Was it? Yeah, oh, no, not one of those three. Oh, it's a different bum. Okay. Yeah, it's a different bum.
Yeah, they're looking for Ashby.
I think this is a scene where we first see those awesome scooters.
Yeah.
Because they are amazing.
Yeah, they have a set of Honda Elites, which Google it right now.
Yeah,
like
great.
Pause this podcast or just do, you know, you're not watching anything while you're listening to this. Yeah.
You don't want to be distracted.
Yeah, Google Honda Elite from like the mid-80s. I think they made them from like 84, 85
really
to like 87
want
or 8. They're cool. Yeah, we were talking about it and we looked it up on eBay. You can get one for about $400.
Yeah, it's cheap.
So, oh man.
They're pretty bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great looking. They almost look like they look a little bit mega forcey. Which is great.
Yeah, I was like, wait, are they in the future again? What are these bikes they suddenly found?
Yeah. They're I can't say enough about them.
Yeah.
I loved them.
They kind of remind me, like, if you guys remember Rob the Robot from Nintendo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
imagine if
he rode a motorcycle, like a scooter. Yep. This is the kind of scooter he would ride.
Yeah, this is, I would say easily, and this is going to sound mean, scooters were the best part of the movie. they were my favorite part of this movie, those scooters. They gave me so much joy.
What about Helen Hunt's red sunglasses?
I like the shoulder pads. That was my favorite.
I will
part.
Say the a close second is that one bag that Helen Hunt had when they first when they first were in Chinatown because that was a great bag.
I didn't even notice the bag. I was too Darryl's busy being favorite. Like green hair clip, red sunglasses, blue hair.
Yeah, and her hair changed a bunch too. Like it was like different shades.
She was ahead of her time.
Yeah,
hair wise.
Yeah, she was. This was 2 years before Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck. She was ahead of her time.
Yeah, Leah Thompson was the Helen Hunt of Howard the Duck.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I don't know. Out. Maybe it's just me, but Helen Hunt, it's weird to see her, like, young. I don't know. I always saw her as, like, the ultimate, like, mom-type actress. Even on Mad About You, when she was in her early 30s, I was like, how could she have ever been a starlet? Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I think it's a product of just, like, our age. Like, when we were kind of, you know, watching things, she was already in that position.
She always looked like a mom to us. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Elaine really, on Seinfeld was pretty hot.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit of the characterization. And also, I don't really remember Helen Hunt being in much else before she kind of took on that role.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
She was in that TV movie where she jumps off a roof, just like in this one, when she gets thrown off a roof.
Oh, wasn't it like a PSA thing?
Yeah, PSA about doing angel dust. I think it was called Dangerous Lives or something.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so, I don't know, maybe it's just her voice. She has a, very mumbly voice.
Yeah, she's got like that, not Lindsay Lohan voice, but just like a...
She was good, though. I mean, she's pretty good. She's a good actress.
I mean, everyone was pretty good. Even the lead was like, he did his job.
Yeah, no one was really terrible as far as acting goes.
I think the only actor, not that it bothered me, was the Whistler guy. I think it was a little too much.
Yeah, he was a little, I don't even know. Like, he...
It was just like the T-1000, but not intimidating.
Yeah, he had no character. Like, he wasn't interesting at all.
Yeah, it was just you're Whistler, and that's you're a bad dude. That's really all we knew.
Yeah, like the camera would cut to him, and like it was, we were supposed to know he was the bad guy, but I couldn't even tell that.
And he wasn't even like scary. He didn't do anything mean to like the people that he had like transferred. I don't know.
Well, when he was a cop in the past, when he's in the future, he's weird because he appears as like this Zordon hologram, and he's wearing his bullfighter's outfit.
But still,
it's so weird.
Even then, he wasn't intimidating.
Yeah. And so we find out, like, it's not even until, like, the last, like, 5 minutes of the movie that we actually see him trance somebody, which you would think, like, in a movie called Trancers that they would have showed to establish how that is. Like, maybe show that a little earlier.
Yeah.
But he's trying it on Helen Hunt, and Jack Death's like, it's not going to work on her. She's too powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, so basically it's like a hypnotizing thing. Like, he's looking into her eyes.
Yeah.
And
it only works on people who are weak of mind.
Squid, followers. We call them.
Sheeple.
Yeah. So I feel like that should have been shown earlier on. Yeah. Like maybe because he takes over one of like the cop henchmen.
Exactly.
They should have showed that in a scene of like him possessing the cop. And it's like, okay, this is how it works.
Or even like the Santa. That would have been great.
The Santa would have been cool too.
Yeah. Because that came out of nowhere.
I feel like the Santa was cool because it came out of nowhere.
That's
like
true.
The same thing with the waitress. Like it was like another like, oh shit. But I feel like that third one, like that should have been set up.
It's cool when they don't like spell out all the rules of this world. But on the other hand, it would be nice to know what his powers are exactly.
Even like
is this trancing thing difficult for him to do, or can he just like do it to 100 people at once? Is it temporary? Is it permanent?
Even if there could have been a scene where, like say like the tanning bed dude, they knew that they were going to go get him because they saw that. Yeah. If there was just any scene, just like one where like Whistler is talking to the cops that he's transferred, like maybe that, and to explain like what he's doing, what his goal is, why he's doing it, like just some of his motive. Like, I don't really fucking understand it.
And that's the biggest thing is like, it's not that it's, I mean, it's an unbelievable.
He's a cop.
Just because of what it is.
He's a cop and he hates transfers.
Yeah,
and he's
going to
hand in
his
badge and gun because he hates transfers so much.
Yeah, but in this world, you need to build like the why, and we never get that throughout this whole damn movie.
It's a big piece that's missing. Yeah.
And it could even just be something as stupid as like, you know, I want to take over the world. Like, that's a stupid thing.
Exactly.
It just needs to be said.
Oh yeah, that guy. He had no motive either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. But yeah, they did it at the end. I think that Jack Death is supposed to be his own grandpa.
Yeah, we think that he's his own ancestor.
Because he's the only person who looked like his ancestor. Because everybody else came back into a completely different body.
Wait, the Whistler was the same guy as his ancestor. He just wasn't wearing the crazy bullfighter outfit.
No, I think that was a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Because then when...
see the cast of Trancers. It was the same actor.
But even if it was the same actor, he wasn't meant to look the same.
This
dude looked exactly the same. Everybody else, they gave you the impression that they you go
McNulty
into an ancestor.
Was a little girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that on right there, like that dispels it.
So there's that, and there's also the fact that he keeps fucking this chick, and that he, at the end of the movie, we're meant to believe that he is staying behind and ending up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Whistler at some point makes some sort of, like, right at towards the end, makes some sort of comment after he throws Helen Hunt off of this building. Something like, if she would have lived, she would have been your, ancestor.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I thought he said something along those lines where that because she was dying, he would die. And that's mostly why I think that there's like his own grandpa thing going on.
Yeah, he's not born yet. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. That's a good catch.
So that's why he wants to have sex with Helen Hunt, so he doesn't disappear.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Finally, a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he does stick around. So,
okay,
he
does. Here's a side topic. What did you think about the way the Trancers looked, like their makeup? Because in the opening credits, there was special credit given to the person who designed that fantastic makeup.
It just looked like a shitty zombie.
Yeah, it looked like a shitty zombie with super chapped lips. That's really it.
kind they of have, like, sharp silver teeth? Lips no. and
yeah, I don't really remember.
And, when, just, and the, when the Santa went trancery, Jack Death later on was like, "Didn't you see how that guy turned yellow?"
Yeah, but they didn't turn yellow. They were like kind of purplish.
Yeah, they turned. They kind of grayed out. Their faces grayed out. Their lips got super chapped.
Yeah, their eye sockets got like they froze to death.
And then they got kind of red around the eyes. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, there was no yellowing at all. Like I feel like originally maybe they were going to be yellow, and they shot that first. They shot that scene first, and they're like, "Nah, man, yellow don't look right."
Yeah, for a movie where they had a special credit in the opening credits for the makeup guy, which I don't think we've seen since Society, it was not that impressive.
Yeah,
they were very blah. They weren't scary at all. And part of that is the makeup. Part of it is their whole purpose. It's like what, and like you have no idea what they're really capable of. They're very weak. They're kind of stupid. So I'm not sure what the point of like even fearing them would be.
Yeah. I mean, the old lady in the beginning was kind of
She was and even
the even the Santa put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because that's the thing. It's not like
they're semi capable.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just they're kind of like it's more like 28 Days Later zombies than you know George Romero.
I still can't get over the fact that they, for until Jack Death shows up to do whatever to kill them or whatever before they have to like practice some form of self defense, they are functioning members of society for all intents and purposes.
So weird.
It's really weird, and I don't understand that part.
Just leave well enough alone.
Yeah,
just well, I guess he would be doing that if not for the fact that they were killing off the ancestors of the ruling class.
Yeah, but that's not even them. That's just that one dude.
Yeah, that's the dude.
One bad apple, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
But yeah, that's Trancers.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Trancers. I think Helen Hunt and the old lady who is on the ruling council are the only women, and they don't even live 200 years within each other's timelines. So,
well, there's a little girl.
Yeah, there's the little girl. There's the black woman who's Q. There's the other old lady.
Oh yeah, Q. That's right. Yeah, she was pretty good. You know, there was the whole.
Yeah, she was. I don't remember what she was in, but she was in like some sort of TGIF thing.
Oh yeah, she was a minor character on Family Matters. I think her name was like Rachel or Ruthie or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say she looked like an aunt or something from Family Matters.
There's at least four female characters, but none of them are in scenes together.
Yeah,
well,
and the,
one of them is technically in a scene with the other, but they don't really talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black, what's her name? Sorry, Ruthie, the scientist, the engineer in the future. She's only there to so she can see Jack Death, and Jack Death is like, "Ugh, we have a past together, don't we?" And she's like, but I don't hold it against you, Jack Death.
And also, I don't think little girl McNulty counts.
Of course not.
As far as...
No.
She's in a scene with Helen Hunt, but that doesn't count.
No.
Because it's a little girl, but it has the mind of an adult man. So, you know, she obviously identifies as an adult man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like she doesn't really talk to Helen Hunt as much as she watches her.
Yeah, as much as she just pervs out about it.
Yeah, not even close. Now, are there any other special effects of note? Was there anything else of note?
Well, there were some like lasers and the charring and the glowing.
But really nothing special.
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, yeah, I liked when the Santa Claus was in a body bag, and the cop at the scene was obviously the Whistler's early variety, and he was like watching Santa Claus disappear into a red laser ray, and after Santa Claus disappeared, he said, "Get this guy out of here."
Yeah,
and he like pointed to a completely empty body bag.
Yeah,
they're not very good cops. But yeah, there's really, honestly, nothing else to talk about. Trancers.
Yeah,
surprised because there's been a lot of these Charles Band movies are really good. Terror Vision, obviously, Reanimator.
I said, it wasn't a bad movie.
No,
it's not
terrible.
They
can't all be winners.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a good like I love Reanimator. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah, but, Crawl Space, you know, starring Klaus Kinski, is a classic of despicable movies nobody should watch.
This one just missed a little bit of heart, a little bit of flavor. Watch it on Hulu. Watch it with Elvira.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Trancy only works on squids, people with weak minds, easily controlled.